This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to The Offseason, a show covering the Miami Dolphins, the NFL, pop culture, drinking culture, and of course, professional wrestling. Now, here are your hosts, Alf Artiaga, and myself, Marek Brave.
And welcome to The Offseason with Marek Brave and Alf Artiaga. How many shows is this already? This is like six. We've been at it for a month and a half. Is that
yeah, if you count Wednesday's show, your Q&A live, which I hijacked and jumped in for about 75% of that one, then yeah, we're probably at about five or six.
All right, perfect. So yeah, if you want to participate in any of these shows, you want to ask questions, just like my OnlyFans Q&A live show, you can become a member of the Discord, and that is by going to discord.gg/OnlyFans, and you become a member there for $3 a month. And by the way, and a brief announcement, on Monday, we will have a full storefront. What does that mean? We're going to sell stuff. So you could buy gear, 3YPC, OnlyFans gear, other type of gear, certain t-shirts that are coming out that have been favorites before, or remixes of old favorites. I'll just say that. You will see them all on our storefront come Monday. Look for our Twitter account. Look for it on OnlyFans as we announce it. All right. Marek, I gave you a homework assignment on Wednesday.
Uh-oh. I already forgot what it was.
You don't remember it? I told you to watch.
Oh, was it to watch Who Killed WCW, right?
Yes. Watch Who Killed WCW. And we're going to trust people. We're going to talk a little Dolphins here as well. Okay? Especially today.
I did my homework assignment.
Oh, beautiful. You want to do that first, or you want to talk a little Dolphins first?
Your call, Alf. We can get to everything today. This is our show, man.
All right.
This is a free-for-all.
I was just on Twitter, which is always a bad idea, and it never ceases to amaze me how toxic the hatred of Tua Tagovailoa is on Twitter. What did this guy do? There are people now on Twitter arguing with Kurt Warner, not about the merits of whether Tua is a good or not quarterback. They're arguing with Kurt Warner about things that Kurt Warner did and could do.
Kurt Warner, Hall of Fame quarterback, am I correct?
Yes. Kurt Warner out there saying, I couldn't make any of these throws. Tua is actually very, very similar to me. And people are in his comments telling him, you don't know what the hell you're talking about, Kurt. Kurt Warner could make all of those throws.
Kurt, you're an idiot. We know you better than you know yourself. I'm actually a big Kurt Warner fan. Kurt Warner is literally from 45 minutes away. I don't know if he was born there, but he was living in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, bagging groceries at our local grocery store. It's called Hy-Vee. He was bagging groceries when he got the call from the Rams to come do a tryout. Obviously, that worked out quite well for Kurt Warner, and it worked out quite well for the Rams. Trent Green goes down in the preseason with, I believe, a torn ACL. He's out for the year. Kurt Warner steps in. And I mean, this is legendary stuff, man. He steps in, has one of the greatest years of any quarterback in the history of the NFL, wins a Super Bowl with the greatest show on turf. And yeah, if Kurt Warner is saying Tua Tagovailoa is a good quarterback and has elite traits in certain areas, then maybe people on Twitter should, I don't know, shut the fuck up and listen to Kurt Warner, because my God, people, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's gotten weird out there. But I remember that season. One of my hot takes that season was, you know what? This offense could run with anybody on it. Like, it was forward thinking. Nobody had ever seen anything like that before, where everything had three layers to it. they had great players at every single level, a great running game, great offensive line. That team was absolutely loaded. And I watched it in preseason with Trent Green. I was like, this team is going to be extremely good. And why can't the Miami Dolphins do this? Of course, it was like 10 years earlier where they had a chance to get the better version of Trent Green, and they didn't do it. They decided, and very famously, Dave Wanstead once said, what can, although he said it about Matt Hasselbeck, or Jeff Hasselbeck, or which one was it? It was Matt Hasselbeck, the good one. You know, what can he do that Jay Fiedler can't? And obviously the answer was play good quarterback, Dave.
Yes. Right. Fun fact about the greatest show on turf. Not Kurt Warner's first year, but his second or third year. I actually saw my first Dolphins game live in St. Louis against the St. Louis Rams. Let's just say it didn't go well.
That was a bloodbath.
Yes,
I remember
it,
that game.
It did not go well for our Miami Dolphins. However, I was 13 years old or so at the time, and Jason Taylor, as he was leaving the field, he gave me one of his game-worn gloves from that game, and I still have it in my office to this day.
Nice, nice. Yeah. But yeah, it's gotten weird on Twitter, and I guess everybody has to have an opinion today, especially this week on Tua Tagovailoa. Now, PFT is a different story, okay? Mike Florio, and even I thought that Chris Sims, of all people, was a little bit embarrassed for Mike Florio this week. Because Mike Florio this week has decided, okay, I hate everybody. I hate Mike McDaniel. I hate Tua Tagovailoa. I hate everything about that team. I hate Odell Beckham. It's been one negative headline after the other all week, including they didn't go through with one of them. One of their headlines was going to be Odell Beckham has yet to practice with the Miami Dolphins. The problem was that the Miami Dolphins had released video of Odell Beckham catching passes from Tua Tagovailoa, which would have killed
two. Yes,
it would have killed two narratives right away. So they pulled that video, but they decided, you know what? He weighs less than 200 pounds. That was Mike Florio's great contribution to the football discourse this week, while Chris Sims said, you know what? No. You know, I'm pretty good at this. I think he weighs somewhere around 206 pounds. Look, Tua's ass and his two legs weigh 206 pounds.
Agreed.
Okay? If he's 220, okay, then maybe. I might accept 220. Was he fat last year? I wouldn't call him fat, you know. He was bigger.
He's thick with two C's.
Yes. By the way, I asked Matt on Wednesday, and by the way, he's trolling the chat. He's back, so now we have a chronic listener. He was at my house last night. We were watching the Mavericks and the Celtics. That didn't end well.
No.
Yeah, but I asked him, so I'll ask you: are you team fat Tua or team skinny Tua?
Well, as an aging man myself, I usually am team chubby anything. You know, I work out. I actually had hernia surgery 2 weeks ago, and I'm trying to get back in the gym. I did my first gym session today, did about 30 minutes of a light jog, which, you know, felt like progress for me. But, you know, the metabolism slows down as you get older. And those Samoans, those Polynesians, they have a thicker build. So, I don't know. I kind of like chubby Tua. Now, I like athletic Tua. I like Tua that can extend plays. I like Tua that can escape the pocket and get first downs with his legs. So if skinny Tua can do all of that while staying healthy, while using the jiu-jitsu techniques that he learned last offseason, then I'm all for skinny Tua. But just aesthetically, I kind of like chubby Tua.
Yeah, I'm undecided, you know. I got to watch him play. Because I've seen skinny Tua play, and I've seen chubby Tua play. You got to remember, as a freshman, he was skinny Tua at Alabama. And then as a sophomore, he showed up at 230 pounds, and Nick Saban called him fat. And then he played that season pretty heavy, and he had a monster year. So, I don't know. Fat Tua has turned in two of the most prolific years. His sophomore year in college, and then last year in the NFL, where he led the league in passing.
We're not rude calling him Fat Tua. His own star wide receiver, Tyreek Hill, said he was fat as shit.
Which was, you know, it was a slight overstatement, okay?
That's a direct quote, fat as shit. That's not nice.
No, it's not. Do you think Jaylen Waddle?
I kept wondering to myself. Do you think Tua had words for him in the locker room? Like, hey, bro. Like, I get it, but like, you didn't have to be so mean.
Yeah, he probably looked at him and said, "Can you at least relax a little bit with the, you know, with the proclamations of fat as shit?" Like, you could just say, "I'm fat
as shit."
Yeah, as shit is no. That's not enough. You know, that's too much. By the way, Jaylen Waddle, I thought it was really, really interesting. Jaylen Waddle said, "No, you know what? I kind of like Chubby Tua." So, I don't know.
So I'm on Waddle's side there.
Yeah, we'll see how it turns out. Evidently, you know, he's anorexic. He's dying of hunger, according to Mike Florio.
Ozempic.
Yeah, he's on Ozempic. He'll be 165 pounds when the season starts. You know.
I had my first pro wrestling match at 165 pounds. Can you believe that?
Oh, Jesus.
I'm 205 now.
Who did you wrestle? And how much did they weigh?
Well, I believe it was a battle royal. This would have been August of 2003. It was a battle royal. Seth Rollins was on the same show. How about that?
Nice.
Also having his first match.
So Seth Rollins was on the same card, but not in the same match.
Yep.
Okay.
We had a segment on the same on that show where him and his tag team partner beat up myself and my tag team partner. It was very convoluted booking. Some would say AEW style booking, but or old WCW style booking, and we'll get into that.
Why did they
wrestle
attack
each other that night?
Did they have a reason to attack you? Or it was just, you know, spur of the moment thing. Let's just go attack these guys.
I wish I could remember. We're talking 21 years ago at this point. I wish I could remember. I really don't think there was a concrete reason for this to happen other than we want these two teams to fight each other down the line.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes wrestling is written that way. Speaking of wrestling,
yep.
Your homework assignment, did you partake? Did you read it? Did you see
it? Yes, sir. Who killed WCW? I watched it. I really liked that they opened with kind of like a montage on everyone that was being interviewed for the episode. They asked him, "Hey, what are your thoughts on WCW?" And Kevin Nash's first line was, "Thanks for the cash." That was my favorite part.
That dude likes money.
Oh, he does.
You know?
He's the best. I love Kevin Nash. He's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy that legendarily cheap was Randy Savage. You know, Hogan is prone, Hulk Hogan, speaking of Hulk Hogan, is prone to lying, let's just say that.
Sure.
And he says that Randy Savage kept, like, his first WrestleMania payout.
Like, just tucked away in a shoebox somewhere?
Yeah, like he put it away and never touched it again. And he was like, "I'm making this much money now, so I don't need to touch that money. That money's there for a rainy day." So Randy Savage must have left, like, what, $100 million somewhere?
I don't know if that's your WrestleMania payout, but it was probably.
Well, if he's
a good
keeping
chunk
every
change.
Single payout from every single pay per view for his entire career, and is just just working and living off of his salary, then that dude has millions and millions somewhere.
Well, not anymore. He's dead. But
well, yeah.
Somebody has it.
Yeah. Well, his funeral and his coffin was really high end then.
Yeah,
but
no, I thought this is a very interesting series. I think it was an interesting choice to have Eric Bischoff kind of be the main character, because if you ask me who killed at WCW, my answer is Eric Bischoff. So we might not get to the same conclusion with Eric Bischoff essentially being the narrator of this series.
I don't get how, and he did his own review. On his own podcast, so you guys could go listen to him speak on it. But I really don't understand how he can say, his response to the criticism that he was a Hulk Hogan stooge is to say, "No, I was not a Hulk Hogan stooge," while we're watching this documentary that he's partaking in that is portraying him as a Hulk Hogan stooge.
Yeah. Yeah, and every time he's on screen, he is standing in Hulk Hogan's shadow.
Yes.
I mean, there are worse guys to be a stooge for, you know what I mean? Like, grab onto those coattails and ride that to the bank, all the way to the bank, man. Like, Hulk Hogan was a money maker.
Like, there's two things you can do, and this is what I got out of this episode, and then I could ask you what you got out of it and your total review of the episode. But what I got out of this episode is that it basically relived some times for me. And here are two emotions that you don't want to feel after watching a wrestling show or an MMA show or a boxing show or any one-off event, okay? And that's being mad. There's two things there's two emotions that you can have after a wrestling show that are correct, okay? That would help the wrestling show. You could be mad or you could be mad. Being mad, as in actually mad, is not a good thing. Being mad because no. Cody Rhodes didn't go over Roman Reigns, that's one thing. Who cares? That's part of the show. That's part of the fun, actually. But being mad as in, fuck these guys, I'm not watching this shit no more, that's a bad emotion to have. And
well, yeah, that's the emotion you get when you feel like you wasted $50.
Yes. And I felt like I wasted 18 months of my life watching WCW. Because of that build, the Sting build, one of the greatest characters ever created anywhere, which was Crow Sting, right?
Yep.
A build of 18 months. He's gonna bring his own brand of revenge on the NWO. You finally have that night. It's against Hogan. It's against who it should have been. Although, in my opinion, they should have had him take out each of the major NWO guys. Start with Scott Hall, then Nash, and then work your way up to Hogan for the one finale. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a proper build there.
And then they do that bullshit where it's a really convoluted finish that nobody knows what the hell happened. And I remember watching it live, and I was like, what happened here?
And they tried to sell it to us through this documentary that it was Sting's fault that happened.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah, it was Sting's fault somehow that happened.
Because he showed up and was in a bad mood that day, and so Hogan didn't trust him enough to lose clean, so they had to do this big convoluted finish where the referee counts fast, but he doesn't actually count fast, and then Bret Hart gets the match restarted, and now Bret Hart is somehow the referee, and then he... Oh, come on, man. Like, that's just... Book wrestling shows. It's what I do. We have two events, not this weekend, but next weekend on Friday and Saturday. I've booked those shows. I know the matches. I know who wins. I know who loses. I know which way the angles and storylines are going to progress. Let me tell you, the simpler, the better. Always. Wrestling fans, I love them. God bless them. They pay my salary. They help me live a comfortable life, and I'm very, very thankful for that. Wrestling fans can't follow along with story points that have a million different alleys that you need to turn down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, and a million permutations.
Yeah, you just got to give them the meat and potatoes. You spell it out for them. You tell them, hey, this is a good guy. This is the bad guy. You want to see the good guy win. Here's how it happens. Boom. And sometimes wrestling promoters don't get that idea. And it's like going through a corn maze. I don't know if you got those down there in Miami, Alf. You got corn mazes?
I don't think we have corn down here.
You're missing out, man. A nice corn maze in October when the weather is dipping. You got a nice 60-degree day out there. You get lost in the corn maze for a couple hours. Ooh-wee, got a little apple cider in your hand there. Maybe a hot dog or two. Wow, what a great day.
So, before we move on, your overall review of this episode, there's going to be four of them, by the way.
While I don't agree with the booking from, the 90s, I love the series, man. Anything from the 1990s makes me feel young again. It allows me to relive my childhood, I was a young kid. I was born in 1986, so I was a young kid in the 90s, mid-90s, coming of age, really getting into pro wrestling hardcore. We get the NWO, we get D-Generation X, we get Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock, and like, man, I was all about that stuff. So anything 1990s related, I am down.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was really, you know, I'm a sucker for all those new documentaries, you know, they're just going to roll out new shit and just, you know, tell us the same story, but from a different angle. That always works for me. Do you find it interesting in the least that Hulk Hogan did not participate in this thing?
I do, because Hulk Hogan is a media whore, and he will participate in anything and everything. They must have just not offered him a fat enough check to be a part of this.
All right, before we move on, have you been watching any AEW whatsoever?
No, not a single second.
All right, good. All right, Saturday. We are 24 hours and 30 minutes away from dropping the puck in Sunrise, Florida. And yes, that is not South Beach. That is not Miami.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Albert Breer was on Twitter arguing.
Ooh, I saw that.
Yeah, they play in South Florida. No, they do not. If I got in my car right now and I drove to Amerant Bank Arena, it would take me an hour to get there. And if there's traffic, it'll take me an hour and 20 minutes. That is not downtown Miami. That is not Miami, okay? If I drove to Hard Rock Stadium, it would take me 15 minutes, okay? That's actually close to me, all right?
So that's Miami enough.
Right, and if I went to Kaseya Center, they keep changing the name of that place, the Kaseya Center where the Miami Heat play, it would take me another hour. It would take me an hour, and not because it's really far from me, it's because the traffic to get there is insane. So needless to say, Amerant Bank in Sunrise is not Miami. It's Sunrise. You want to call it Fort Lauderdale? It's not Fort Lauderdale. It's actually Sunrise. But if you want to say it's Fort Lauderdale, fine. I'll indulge you. I also love how
and
they
the
say
team.
Some of these people, they got in my mentions and they say it is the Miami metropolitan area. While this guy is like in Anchorage, Alaska, right? And I'm like, yes, technically, if you look at a map and it says Miami metropolitan area, you know what also covers it? Part of Lake Okeechobee. You know how far it is from my house to Lake Okeechobee? About 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Oh, wow. That's me. From Chicago.
Okay.
I live in Iowa.
So that's like saying that
I am not
that you,
suburb of Chicago.
That's like saying like Marek Brave lives in Chicago. And he does not.
And I don't.
But anyway, so, they're dropping the puck 24 hours and 30 minutes from exactly right now when we're recording this. This is exciting stuff. I feel like throwing up.
I'm going to make an effort, Alf. I am going to make an effort to watch as much of every single game as possible. I am going to crown myself an official Florida Panthers fan right here on this episode. It's done. I like hockey and I like the Panthers. That's my team. I want to get a, they're not even jerseys, right? They're sweaters.
Yeah, they're called sweaters.
I'm going to get a sweater and that'll come in handy. You can't really wear a sweater in Miami. It doesn't get cold enough.
No, never.
But in Iowa, I can wear that 6 months out of the year.
And they have cool uniforms. I understand that this week they did one of those lists where they said who has the worst uniforms in the NHL. And obviously, because the Panthers are good. They had to put him in on a bad list somehow. And they had him as the fourth worst uniform in the NHL. I disagree. I think the Panthers' uniforms are spiffy. They look nice. I like that shield. I like that shield. I think it's kind of cool. You know, is it better than the Leaping Panther that they came into the league with? No, because that was cartoony and I thought it looked great. You know, cartoonish logos.
Is the Leaping Panther no longer a thing?
No, it's no longer a thing. That's a throwback nowadays. You know, like you can look it up. If you look it up on Google, go to Google Images and look at the Florida Panthers' original uniform. Look at their original uniform. You had the Leaping Panther. It looks great. And now the new one.
Okay, I see the shield now. Yeah. I see in my head, I have the Leaping Panther uniform in my head because of watching SportsCenter in the 90s.
Right. That was their old logo, which was absolutely great. But they decided, you know what? We're going to rebrand. And they rebranded, and now they have this one. Oh. And the team's really good. So I don't think they're going to go back to the Leaping Panther.
If I were to get a jersey, I would get the – excuse me, a sweater – I would get the throwback. Although I'm seeing this something with a sun and a palm tree
and a hockey stick. Yeah, that's their alternate.
I do not like that one. Yeah, I don't like that one.
It's light blue. I don't like it either. A lot of people love it. I hate it. I don't think
that's weak.
I don't think it's a good looking jersey.
So this Tkachuk fella, that's the one I want.
Yes, that's the jersey. Oh, you want Barkov? Barkov's good too. But
I like this Jaromir Jagr throwback.
That is pretty cool, right? I think he played here. I think he played here for like a month.
Okay, well, still works.
Yeah, but yeah.
Believe it or not, speaking of Miami jerseys, Alf, in the '90s, being from the Midwest, I grew up a Chicago Bulls fan. Obviously, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, those guys were easy to root for. But, however, I would say about '97. I acquired an Alonzo Mourning Miami Heat jersey, and I still have it. And the way the trends went, how baggy clothes were really popular in the 90s, it still fits. I can still wear my Alonzo Mourning jersey.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Now, what's interesting about this is that I'm already kind of nervous for the series, and this happens to me for every team that tries to win, of my team, my favorite teams, that tries to win their first championship. Because I remember in 2006 with the Heat, I was pretty nervous. And then in, 11, 12, 13, 14, it's been a good run. 20, 21, all those finals runs for the Heat, I wasn't really all that nervous. Like, if they won, great. If they didn't win, I've seen my team win, I got that nervousness now for the Panthers because they have zero. And, of course, if the Dolphins make the Super Bowl, I saw them lose two Super Bowls, so I've never seen them actually win. So, naturally, I'd be pretty nervous about them winning a championship. Which of your teams? You just mentioned the Bulls. I guess that was it. Or do you have another team?
That is my literal entire life of all the teams I've rooted for. The Bulls are the only team that's ever won a championship. But in my mind, that doesn't count, right? Because it's the Bulls. It's Michael Jordan. Like, of course, he was going to win the championship.
But you remember winning every year. But you remember winning the first one and how that felt, right?
No, I was too young. Born in '86, so I'd have been like 5 years old when that happened.
And, yikes! So you didn't even see the Dolphins.
Probably not even a Bulls fan yet.
So you didn't even see the Dolphins lose two Super Bowls. I did.
Nope, I've never seen the Dolphins in a Super Bowl. I've never seen them lose a Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl. And my favorite baseball team, which is the other sport I follow closely, is the Cleveland Guardians. So I saw them play in the World Series in 2016 against the Cubs. You can imagine where I'm at. Lots of Cubs fans.
Well, you also saw them lose to the Marlins in 1997.
I did. Wasn't a huge baseball guy in the late 90s. But, so not a fun life. Not a fun sporting life I've led outside of my Bulls championships in the 90s. But I almost feel like that was the worst thing that could have happened for me because I assumed, okay, well, now all my other teams will win championships as well. And that has not happened.
No. When your team has a shot at winning one of these things, and Heat fans have been just completely, completely spoiled by the Miami Heat.
Yes.
Because they're in contention literally every year. This year they were not in contention. but they had a ton of injuries. But they have a way of just springing right back up. So when you have a team that has a shot and you're playing for that trophy, it just feels different. And there's a nervousness, you know what I mean, for tomorrow.
Oh, I do know.
And for the Dolphins, you know, segueing into the Dolphins, man, I would feel, I think this is, I'm not going to say this is the year because that's too cliche, but let me just say, I think they're going to win the division. And if they win the division, and I'm pretty certain they're going to win the division. If they win the division, you know what the expectations are, right? If you're going to have home games at Hard Rock.
Playoff victories, AFC championship.
Yes. And if they have the number one overall seed, I will be absolutely devastated if they did not make the Super Bowl. And if they made the Super Bowl, I'm just going to throw up all over myself.
So, Alf, help me figure this out. Because people ask me this question all the time. If the Dolphins make the Super Bowl, do you go to the Super Bowl?
No.
Knowing the prices of those tickets.
No, it's just too much money, man.
It's expensive. And then I also think, like, I want to share that moment with the people around me. You know, my two sons, they're Dolphins fans. I have a couple Dolphins fans who live here in Iowa with me, believe it or not. Actually, the guy who trained me to be a professional wrestler, he lives in Chicago. He's a Dolphins fan. So, like, I'd want to watch that with them, win or lose. Because if you win, that's, like, the adulation, the sheer joy of that moment. You get to share it with all the people you care about. But if they lose, at least you can have the old adage, misery loves company. You know what I mean? Like, I can have a support system around me.
Yeah, and I also want to commit some crimes, you know? So so if I'm, you know, if I'm, like, let's say, I don't know, you know, let's say the Super Bowl's in New Orleans this year, right? So if you go to New Orleans, okay, great. So they win the Super Bowl. I'm walking out of the stadium. What am I going to do? Start turning over cars right there? I'm going to get arrested. They're going to lock me up and throw away the key, you know what I mean? But if I'm here in my house, I could just go marauding out my door completely drunk,
yeah,
and nobody will tell me anything. You know what I mean? Because everybody else is doing the same thing. You know what, yeah, I'm saying? So, and I'll never forget.
It might be different for me.
I'll never forget. 2006, the Heat win the championship, and I just run out my door, and all my neighbors are out their doors. And we're in the
that's
streets.
That's amazing.
And we're out in the streets. I have never seen that before in my life. And it was just an instinct of mine to say, I'm lighting up a cigar, I'm pouring myself a very large drink in what would you call it, a big gulp cup? Although I think it was a Flanagan's cup. You don't know anything about Flanagan's, Merrick.
I don't.
Do you? You don't? Very, no. Very popular sports bar down here. So I think I poured it into a big giant Flanagan's cup, okay? I lit a cigar, and I walked right out my door. And I'm like, I'm just walking. Okay, and I don't care where the hell I end up, but I feel great. And everybody else in the neighborhood was doing the same thing.
Ugh, and that sounds so fun.
And then all of a sudden, on a very near street, 12th Avenue, which is a pretty large street, it has three lanes each way, so it's about six lanes. Traffic was at a standstill because everybody was out in the streets. Nobody was fighting. Nobody was turning over cars or anything. It was just a lot of high-fiving, a lot of loud music.
Yeah.
That was fun, okay?
That sounds so good.
In 2012, when it happened again, you know, and then it happened again in 2013, but when it happened again in 2012, okay, I remember my wife was sober, so I tell her, we're going parading. So let's get in the car, and we're driving down every street. We literally went up freeways. We went down major streets. We went to different cities. And every little enclave of this town had their own little makeshift parade going on.
Wow.
And then the worst moment was in 2013 when they defeated the Spurs in Game 7 in Miami. I was at the game. Okay? And, of course, the Heat win the championship. I'm in my seats. I see them win it live. So I'm there for the whole trophy presentation. When we're leaving, we want to go marauding, right? And we're in downtown Miami. The cops tell us you can't leave the stadium until the Spurs leave because they were afraid that the fans were going to, because all the fans were out in the street. So they were afraid that the fans were going to overturn the Spurs bus and they didn't want rioting. So they wanted to herd everybody away. That was a terrible championship experience. And I was at the arena watching them do it. So that's another reason why I wouldn't want to do it.
You know from experience. Yeah. So I think you just gave me my answer, Alf. If the Dolphins make the Super Bowl, I don't go to the Super Bowl. I go to your house.
Yeah, you come to Miami to really enjoy this. Yeah, because you can't go marauding
in
Iowa.
And if they win, we party. I mean, obviously, I'd have my jersey and my hat on. I'd be going crazy and everything. But yeah, I'd get some odd looks. So I come to you. We grab a cigar. We grab some drinks. We go party. I like. We got Trip Switch in the comments here saying, if Dolphins get to the Super Bowl, the whole of OnlyFans gets to go to Alf's house. Can you commit to hosting a Super Bowl party for all of OnlyFans if the Dolphins make the Super Bowl, Alf?
I would host the Super Bowl winning party. I would not host the Super Bowl party because what if they lose?
Well, again, misery loves company.
No, not me. Not me. Misery likes loneliness. That's me.
I think I would cry either way.
No, if they lose, I'd be thinking like, my God, we blew this, and I really might die without seeing them win.
Yeah, I'd feel the same. I really, it's like my biggest fear.
And I'll tell you one thing, man. I saw Dan Marino get to a Super Bowl, and I will never say what I said that day ever again. And Dan Marino said it. Okay, he said it to himself, and he said it to fans, and he said it to teammates. We'll be back. We'll be back next year. Mm. He never got back.
No.
Yeah, so, that I would tell Panther fans, enjoy this tomorrow. Your team is in the Stanley Cup final 2 years in a row, and this year they're not injured like last year. This year they're actually the favorite to win it all. Man, just finish the job. That's all. Just finish it. Four more wins.
Vamos.
That's all.
Gatos.
All right, I think we can leave it here. You got anything else to add? Any wrestling stuff?
Well, we didn't do a lot of Dolphins talk, And the big news of the day, maybe you don't want to touch on it. I get it. What's Xavier Howard doing?
I don't know. He has a problem.
In legal trouble again?
He has a problem, okay? And his problem has to do with the female persuasion of the species, okay?
Yeah. And he doesn't seem to handle those interactions well.
No.
We're tiptoeing around it here, but he sent some explicit photos to the son of a mother he was fooling around with, and that's just a crime, honestly. You know what I mean?
Well, that might get him arrested.
Yeah.
That might be the answer. Remember, these teams know more than we do, okay? Even I, you know, who is somewhat connected, I'm not Jay Glazer here, but I know things. I know things that most people don't know, but I didn't know about this, but maybe the teams did, and maybe teams out there like the Dallas Cowboys, who I was told one time would have a lot of interest in somebody like Xavier Howard because of their system. Their system is heavily man-based, okay? Can you imagine Xavier Howard with Trevon Diggs on the other side? I can. Ooh,
solid.
That would be a nice little group, right? There's a reason why he hasn't been signed. Who knows if teams knew about this stuff. And if they knew about this stuff, they wouldn't be signing him. And that's why he's out there without a job right now.
And I've seen some people on Twitter, I don't know if they're guessing or whatnot. I don't think there's any sort of information that would lead them in this direction, saying that maybe the door is open for Xavier Howard to return to Miami. Does something like this kind of close the door shut?
I would say so, because I think that this is going to – I'm no legal expert. This sounds like this is headed for criminal proceedings.
Yeah.
And at worst,
I mean, if these
– a very, very public court hearing.
Yeah, if these allegations are true, which we must state on this show here, these are just allegations. None of this has been proven. But if these allegations are true, it's very easy to figure out if he did this or not. Text messaging, I mean, it's right there. You know what I mean? There are receipts. There's a paper trail, so to speak. Like, people will be able to figure out if he did this or not.
Yeah. Well, we shall see.
Ugh.
We shall see. All right. On the way out, Dolphins are flush with cash right now. You want them to spend it on somebody? You said you wanted Greg Van Roten on Wednesday.
I do.
Has that changed? That's who you want?
That's who I want. Yeah, I want offensive line, right? Because if I asked you right now, what is the weakest link on this Miami Dolphins roster, what would you say?
It's probably the interior offensive line.
And that's how I feel as well. So if that's our weakest link, let's address it. Let's go into preseason with no weak links. And let's really shoot for the fucking moon here. And let's get ourselves a Lombardi trophy.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. I like Mark Lewinsky as well. I might put some tape on him on OnlyFans. And again, you guys could participate on OnlyFans and, you know, talk with about 2,000 like-minded Dolphin fans. Watch video on all these guys. Like, trust me, people. I did a 4-minute video of Neville Gallimore highlights, okay? You could get that on Discord, on our Discord, discord.gg/OnlyFans. But I think it's interesting that Chris Kaufman, our own Chris Kaufman, and I think he's right. I think they used this mini camp, of which they cut one day off. And it wasn't that they sent everybody home, but that one day they made it a classroom day or a meeting day. I think he's absolutely right. I think they used this mini camp to decide what to do with that extra cash that they're going to have here. And maybe they're happy with what they have and they do nothing and they just roll this money over to pay for some of their players. Maybe he hypothesized as well. Maybe they use some of that money. Maybe they get like $10 million of it as a down payment on Tua's contract, and you know, front load maybe a little bit of it for the first year. You know, so I don't know. I'm interested to see what they do with it. I think they need an interior offensive lineman, and I think that's what they should do with it. Maybe a safety. I don't understand how Justin Simmons and Quandre Diggs are still not signed. Those are frontline players. But all right, Marek, you got anything else? Or we're going to call it right here?
Let's call it right here, Alf. I think we gave the people what they wanted.
Perfect. All right, we will do this again next week as we do it all off season long, meaning it will end once there is training camp. So 6 more weeks of the offseason with Marek and Alf. See you next week.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the offseason with Marek and Alf. Until next time, raise your fins, raise your glasses, and we'll talk to you next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.